Songstress Eartha Kitt enthralled audiences beginning in the 1940s up until just months before her death in 2008. Her best-known song is probably this sultry Christmas classic from 1953.
Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight.
But Eartha Kitt was much more than her sex kitten image. She supported Dr. Martin Luther King and was an advocate for women's rights and the LGBTQ community. And though the world viewed her as black, she refused to be defined by her color. Eartha's daughter, Kit Shapiro, was her mother's closest confidant. Kit tells the story of their relationship in the new book, Eartha and Kit. And when I spoke with her last May, I thought back to seeing Eartha Kitt give a magnetic performance of that song more than 20 years ago. And I asked Kit to talk about the stage persona that her mother created.
Well, she never really thought of herself as a sex symbol. I think she found that to be somewhat comical in some ways. But I do think she cultivated the image of Eartha Kitt. She really, I think, wanted to have a persona that kept her safe and gave her some strength. And I think over time, this persona of this incredibly strong and self-controlled woman came to be from, you know, a combination of different things from her life.
Mm. Your mother, Eartha Kitt, was nominated for 3 Tony Awards, 3 Emmys, 2 Grammys. She made dozens of movies, starred in numerous Broadway shows. I'm curious, aside from the talent, what was it about that discipline that made her such a great performer?
I think one of the things that made her a great performer was her ability to be vulnerable and to show who she really was on that stage, even though it was, you know, covered in this persona of being the sex kitten. When she would sing, you really saw her emotion and you really felt the words that she was singing.
If you go away on the summer day, then you might as well take the sun away and the birds that flew in the summer sky when our love was new and our hearts were high and the days were long and the nights were young
and the moon stood still for the night birds' song. If you go away, if you go away, if you go away.
What's so remarkable about her life, she came from extreme poverty. She had a very difficult upbringing. You write in the book that Eartha's mother, part Native American, part African American, she was 16 when she had Eartha and then abandoned her. Eartha Kitt never knew her father. Can you talk a little bit about her childhood and how it shaped her?
My mother was called a yellow gal, and in the part of South Carolina that she was born in, she was too light-skinned for, you know, everybody else, and it was presumed that her biological father was probably a white man. But I think she struggled her entire life with the fact that her mother gave her up because her mother married a man, a black man, who said, I will not have that yellow gal living in my house. And my mother was given to a family who treated her horribly, the mother as well as the teenage children, physically abused, sexually abused, emotionally abused her. You know, these were scars she carried her entire life, yet she didn't hide them. She was always willing to talk about it. She didn't want to forget those tough times because they kept her very honest and very real.
Well, and I think in many ways it seems like that's why she fought so tirelessly for others, because of the experience of her early life.
No question about that. My mother really wanted to be able to give voice to anybody who needed their voices heard.
You tell some wonderful stories in the book. I love the story of Eartha Kitt traveling on tour with 10 tuxedos of various sizes. And before each performance, Eartha's manager would check to make sure the audience was integrated. And if there weren't enough black faces in the crowd, you write that Eartha would dress the kitchen staff in those tuxedos, bring them into the audience, and seat them right there on the front row. She was relentless in her effort to bring social and cultural change.
No question. She didn't understand our society's need to treat each other differently because of the color of one's skin. And she didn't understand injustices for other people's religious beliefs or social beliefs. And she felt that we were all entitled to live side by side. And so when she could make impact, you know, my mother would explain to me that it doesn't take, you don't have to have the biggest soapbox. You don't have to have the loudest voice. Everybody can affect change.
Your mother accepted an invitation to perform in South Africa during apartheid, and she certainly made a statement there, again stipulating that she would only perform for integrated audiences, which was really unheard of at the time there. Tell me about that trip.
There's so many ironies in that trip for me personally, because obviously by the time I was born, my mother was already a famous person. So I didn't witness my mother being treated differently. I witnessed my mother being treated as a celebrity. That's how, you know, I grew up. When we went to South Africa, was the first time I had experienced my mother being treated differently because of the color of her skin. I didn't see any differences between the two of us, even though our skin color is very different. I am very light-skinned with blonde hair and light eyes, and my mother is clearly a woman of color. But there were times in South Africa where people didn't necessarily know who she was. And there was one specific instance in an amusement park where I had been allowed in because nobody questioned my race, given how I look. And my mother came with me one day, and she was told that she needed to leave because it was a whites-only park. She got up very quietly and took my hand, and we went to leave. And it turned out that later in that week, she had an opportunity to do a photo shoot with the amusement park in the background. And my mother made a comment, you know, to the press. Oh, it's very funny. I was thrown out of that park earlier this week. The press put it in the headlines, the newspaper, or the kid thrown out of the amusement park. And the owner of the amusement park came and said, you know, I'm so sorry. I apologize. And is there anything I can do to make it up to you? She said, well, I would love a donation. We're raising funds to build schools for African children. And my daughter would really like to come back to the amusement park with her friends. And so he gave us some tickets. And when we went back to the amusement park, my mother brought an array of children, you know, in all different races. So to her, that was more impactful. That photograph that there is, and it's in the book, that image was much more impactful than had she stood up and made a scene when she was asked to leave. She understood that, you know, we have power, and sometimes you have to wait till the moment is right.
Eartha Kitt might be most recognizable to a certain generation because she starred as Catwoman in the 60s television series Batman. And we have a scene from that. Let's listen.
How can Batgirl be the best anything when Catwoman is around? No best-dressed list is complete without the addition of the Queen of Criminals, the Princess of Plunder, yours untruly.
Such a recognizable tone, the way she spoke. You say, you write that people would recognize her on the street and ask her to purr for them as Catwoman. Is that true?
Yes.
Did she do it?
Yes. She would do it because she understood that, you know, fans are who were, you know, made her who she was. And she loved the character of Catwoman. She found her to be just so over the top. What I find so interesting is, as an adult, I look back on Catwoman now and I think about what an incredible trailblazer that character was. Here was a woman of color who was opposite the white male lead, and there was this sexual tension, this flirtatiousness between the two of them. You know, in 1967, 1968, that was really, you know, unheard of.
It's been over 12 years since your mother died in 2008. I'm curious, has writing this book helped bring her back to you in some way? And what do you most clearly remember about her now?
It's interesting to look back on. I really feel her impact is more relevant than ever. She not only understood the importance of treating human beings with care, but she understood the importance of treating our planet and our environment with care. And, you know, I mean, I felt that my mother was always with me, you know, as hard as it is to lose a mother, especially as an only child. But I feel like even more now that she's looking down and saying, okay, this is good. This is what you know, let your voice be heard. Let my voice continue to be heard.
Kit Shapiro's book is Eartha and Kit, A Daughter's Love Story in Black and White. Kit Shapiro, thank you so much.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me.